Blog Talk Radio.
Hold me close.
tell me, girl.
Baby, I love you. Oh, I love you. Holding you tight through the night. Whoa.
Thank you.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Divas Talk. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and I'm joined here by my lovely divas. I'm going to just stop saying guest panel because y'all my lovely divas. I got a Lisa Lips. How you doing tonight, Ms. Lips?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Let me open up this next mic too. Got ourselves a Lady A. How you doing tonight, Lady A?
Great, thanks. And I'm glad to hear you guys are too.
Awesome. And last but not least, we got Johnny, my baby diva. How you doing tonight, diva?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing. How are all of you?
I'm all right. Yes, enjoying the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just something about the smell of that after rain in the air and the fall coming. It's something about that night air. I don't know what it is, but it just smells different. It smells good, though. I like it. So, ladies, let me finish introducing the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Ladies, I got my Raw Links on. You got yours on?
Absolutely. Always.
I know that's right. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please, by all means, press that 1 and join us. We'd love you to. Now, before I go any further, I have to give a big thank you and a shout-out to someone who is a very, very good friend of mine. And he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is also the creator and CEO of Raw Links, those beautiful pieces of jewelry that me and my divas were just talking about. And the place that you can find them, I will tell you in just a second. But his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Baby, baby, yeah. And you can find those beautiful pieces of jewelry on Amazon. And Raw Links, Be Raw at Facebook.com. And if you can't get them there, either one of those places, then you holler at anybody here in Epiphany, and we will make sure that you get to adorn your body with a design of your choice or a design of his choice. Either way, you won't be disappointed. Now, ladies, tonight is open mic. And I told our callers, our listeners, our artists, that they get to ask one of us one question. Okay. So, I mean, I ain't going to limit them. They can ask us all a question, you know. Just be prepared.
That'll be interesting.
I think so. You know, you never know what you're going to get. What did Forrest Gump say? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
It's all right, though. It's all right. It's coming up on a half hour in the hour. So I'm going to do a station identifier because it's about time to pay the bills. And then when I come back, we can get started with this poetry. Is that all right with you, lady?
Sounds great.
Right. Be right back.
Rain. This is Epiphany Radio.
Welcome back, welcome back. Let me just let y'all know, if you hear a dog making noise in the background whining, he has skin allergies, so he scratches a lot and he whines a lot, so pay him no mind. It's better than him barking at every damn thing, okay, which is what he does quite often as well, okay? I want to ask you ladies, I don't know about y'all, but I find myself, like, saying the whole snippet, singing to it, and that baby, baby, baby.
I'm absolutely singing along.
Okay, because I know it couldn't just be me alone. It has to be somebody else.
Oh, it's contagious. It's very contagious to sing along.
It is. Absolutely.
The one didn't be. The other one. That's love.
Oh,
I'll be
yeah.
in your body rolling. How do you play that one?
Absolutely, yes, I'll be swaying back and forth. This love. I'll grab one of my locks and twirl it around my finger. Mm-hmm. I can't help it. It's Cassie. You know, for real, going to love to hear this playback. Okay, he ain't here right now, but when he listens to it, he's going to be like, oh, y'all like it, huh? Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I am ready for some poetry, really, really, really. But I want to ask you ladies, is there anything that you want to ask me? Because we can ask each other some questions, too, before we get started. Anything you want to ask?
Yeah. I have a question for anybody also. Do you remember the verse that you read on air? And if you do, why did you choose that piece?
Oh, my God, I do. Okay. So, erotic poetry is my wheelhouse. That's what I do. Even though I'm well-versed in other types of poetry, I love my eroticism because I think they asked us this question last night? What is eroticism to you? It's life, it's everything. So I came out because I was hearing a lot of erotic poetry on Epiphany with the amount of people that were calling in and sharing their pieces. I was like, well, shoot, if that's what they're doing, I got something for. And yes, the first piece that I did was called, what is it called? I can't even remember the name of it, but I'm going to tell you the first line, the very first line. Y'all ready?
Yes.
I want your book in my mouth.
Oh,
okay. The first line is, I want your dick in my mouth. And everybody was like, whoa. Yo, I was so nervous because I didn't know how to take the reaction. It wasn't a bad reaction. They were just like, they weren't muted like we normally do when somebody is spitting a piece. And I could hear the reaction. It was Van was on there. I think it was J Rob was on there. For real was there. And they were what was it? I think it was Mr. Metaphoria. And after I spit that,
oh my God.
Metaphoria was like, yo, this was before I even had my pen name. He was like, you know what? You going to have niggas in your inbox you don't even know talking about, I miss you. Yes. I will never, ever forget that. And it was on Monday night because the show was called Do What You Like. That was about 5-6 years ago. And I couldn't even fathom being where I'm at now on Epiphany. So, wow, that was a memory you just brought up for me, girl. Thank you.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I don't remember the first piece that I did, but I remember the first erotic piece that I did because it changed everything. I stumbled into Mojave's show on a Tuesday night. I had only been listening to Epiphany maybe 2 or 3 weeks at that point. And they were it was a honey dripper night. And I had one erotic piece called Dickmatized. And I did the piece because they were doing erotic poetry. And I had done the piece before with my old poetry group, and it fell flat because nobody did erotic stuff in my group. So I was like, okay, let's see what happens here. And I did the piece, and then it was like silence for a few seconds. And then Mojave went, Miss Lips, you got me looking at you sideways right now. I really need to talk.
I think I remember that night because those words that Javi said stuck with me. That was it was funny and it was like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that night when you
That's what
that
brought me to the honey drippers, that piece.
Okay, well, it was well deserved, honey. Trust me. Yes. All right, I want to know now. I want to know about Lady A. What about you? I want to see.
Well, I hid my poetry for many years, over 20 years. I was writing, and I never shared it with anybody. And then one day a couple of friends of mine came over, and I had been writing, and they wanted to know what I was writing about. And so I did share a poem with them, and they were blown away and said, you know, you should be doing something, you should be sharing this so other people can take part. And so I just started searching different poetry sites to join, and one thing led to another, and I was found All Poetry and a group there that had started doing radio programs, and I started sharing my poetry there, and then and I ended up being having my own show for a while and for a few years, and that's how I got into it. And I loved the idea of after hiding it for so long, I loved the idea of being able to share that. So that's how I got into it.
Okay. I remember All Poetry. No, they had a radio show. That's cool.
Pardon me?
Okay.
I remember All Poetry. I just didn't know that they had a radio show.
Well, like there's different groups within All Poetry, and the group that I was in was a team of voices, and they have a blog talk show. So, and I had a blog talk show with them for a while, and it was a good way to share. There were some strict rules as far as. There wasn't any. There was sensual poetry, and if we wanted to have a little bit of extra fun, we would just have a private show that the public couldn't hear, and we would have a little fun that way and with a bit of erotica. But it was a great experience.
Okay. All right, ladies, we got callers waiting, so let's get to our poetry, and then we can start opening up these mics. And I'm going to start out with Ms. Lynch. What you bring for our listeners tonight?
This piece is something I wrote like a year and a half ago, and for whatever reason, it has been banging me in the head all day, so I thought I should bring it to you guys. The piece is called He Wrote in Cursive.
All right. The mic is yours.
He wrote in cursive on my skin, stylized words of love. His penmanship was that of an expert. Calligraphy so beautiful, that God himself took notice. And each syllable was so exquisitely designed that scholars throughout history came to study his work. And as I lay before him as his blank canvas, my soul soaked up his ink and locked it into my DNA for all time. Because you see, I wasn't just his release. I was his sanctuary. And he scrolled out scriptures on my frame through twists and turns of mountains and valleys and across the open plains of my belly, sacred musings of transcendental beauty that foretold the journey we were embarking on. Because he knew what our future was to be, as if he were back from the future just to bring me along to the precipice on which he once stood, somewhere in a distant land I had yet to know, for the chance to stare destiny in the eye and become one with this man God who has fixed his eyes upon me, just so he could write in cursive upon my skin the history of the origins of true love from another lifetime when we were ancients and the world took heed to our hedonistic passions, when we were once only flesh upon flesh, drowning ourselves in immortal desire. But now, as mere mortals overcome by emotions and the deep desire to build a sacred bond, we follow our moral compass to a land and time where twain become one for eternity, defying all nature, to love in perpetuity through many forms and fashions, only to end up once again in each other's arms, where he writes in cursive on my skin, of love reincarnate unending throughout all eternity. I'm Lips, and you've just been serving.
Wow.
He writes cursive on my skin.
Oh,
how erotic and beautiful that is. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I found myself down because I'm such a visual person. I can literally put myself there and almost feel the actions that you are talking about in this. And I'll be like, oh, shit. That was beautiful. I loved it.
Thanks.
I really, really do. Wow. Jamie, what you got for that?
I think my favorite part about this was the passage of time and the different lifetimes and how that connection was still there. You mentioned writing history. I love how cursive visually and it's palpable. You know what I mean? It's just tangible. I love the connection between writing and cursive and it being on the skin and then that connection that crosses time. That was so incredibly beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Lady A, what you got for that?
Well, I thought this was gorgeous. I love that, you know, he wrote in cursive on my skin. There was just something very sensual and pleasing about that, and you being his canvas, and again too the history that they had together pulled them back together in the end. I love the use of the metaphor throughout this piece too, where you speak of the journey that they take, and you know being on her body or in her mind. I think you've done a really beautiful piece here, written a really beautiful piece, and very sensual, and was, I thought, was really classy, beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, we're going over to my baby diva, Jeannie. What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
All right, I dipped into the archives of this one. There we go.
The mic is here.
Drew scribbles and doodles on a blank page with his spiral notepad. Whirls and curly cues keep his attention as the whirl of his metal oscillating fan distracts him. If I had the sense I was born with, I'd start the weekend early, he mutters. The soft click, click, clicking of the secretary's typing is punctuated with a ding at the end of each line, followed by a zip and a thump before she starts the next. He didn't notice the clicking of high-heeled patent leathers until a curvy silhouette pauses at his door. Drew leans back in his chair as a small shadow of a hand hesitates, inches from the frosted glass center before rapping softly on the door jamb. "Yes, come in," he calls out. In walks the girl with the saddest eyes he's ever seen, making him stumble a little as he rushes out and around to the front of the fist. She dabs at the corners of her eyes with a white lace handkerchief before meeting his gaze and taking a deep breath. "I need your help, but I don't have any money." Her voice is barely above a whisper. Drew turns away briefly and mutters, "Great, she's a doll and all, but how charitable can I be when I'm up to my eyeballs and unpaid bills?" He turns back, and instead of looking at her face, he gives her a once-over. "Slowly. Look, I'm sorry for all your troubles, but my time is free. In fact, I was just about to close up shop." Drew pauses. The cutie's eyes instantly fill up with tears, and Drew begins to regret his brush off. Funny thing is, she's not looking at him. She's staring out the window in horror as a black roadster peels off. "Oh, God, they said no cops. But I didn't think coming here to talk to you would hurt. I think I may have found my husband's death warrant." Fade to black, essentially.
Oh, I love it. He reached out, door. Oh, said, "I need your help." Hey, y'all doing a thing to me tonight with these pieces. Can I get that last line again, please?
She said, "Oh, God, they said no cops, but I didn't think coming here to talk to you would hurt. I think I may have found my husband's death warrant."
Wow. Okay. I think I heard this one before. It sounds vaguely familiar to me, but it's still good. It's still good. Ms. Lips, what you got for that?
It kind of puts me in the mind of the stuff that Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer does. He does these net noir type stories, and that piece is one of those kind of pieces, those Mickey Hammer type detective novel type pieces.
Yeah.
And I love the way that it moves. Yeah, and the story is you can see like the 1950s gear and the perfectly pressed dresses and the white gloves and the hat, you know, and all of the stuff that you saw in those 50s novels in your mind. It was beautiful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the cigarette smoke in the shadow, the silhouette.
The long pen, the long cigarette
light.
Holder.
Yes. And red lipstick was a must. I don't know what it was about red lipstick back then, but it was like, it was just, I don't know. It just needed to be there. You can't think about those times without red lipstick and, like you said, the long cigarette holder. Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
That's where I was. Yes. Lady A?
Yeah, I agree with everything Lisa said, especially about the, you know, that the detective type of narrative. And I thought that the story that was the storytelling, it was exactly like that, and like reading a script or telling the story from that person's perspective, watching that, you could see that person watching the action that was going on in front of them. It was like a chapter in the life, and I thought that was a really very original way to write. It was very different. It was unique and different, and it was well read. I think you always do a great job reading anyway, but I loved the style of this particular piece. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Like a streetcar named Desire. That's what I'm getting. Yes, yes. Right? Lady A, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I brought a piece that I wrote. When did I write this? Just this past May. And it's called I Can't.
The mic is yours.
Walking to the edge overlooking the lagoon, head first I dove into the pristine water. My body enveloped, refreshed. My head, my neck. I am floating. My arms, my legs are ribbons in the water, face down. Panic sets in. I can't breathe. They pull me up and out of the liquid coffin, flopping like a fish. I can't feel my limbs. I can't breathe. Am I dead? I can't breathe. Lights are blinding. Voices are urgent. A tube inserted. I'm intubated. X-rays, MRI, CT scans. All the while, I still can't feel my limbs. Doc enters with that I have bad news face. God give me grace. One word, like a neon sign flashing. Paralyzed, my mind crashing. Quadriplegic, no movement from my neck down. I wish I'd drowned. Tubes, machines, and blaring noises, mechanical screams. My nose is itchy. My nose is itchy. A nurse comes in, and she's bitchy. Useless, helpless, quadriplegia is ruthless. Purpose, goals, and future unfolds, bedridden, strapped to a chair, machines to breathe air. My nose is itchy, and I can't scratch it. I can't lift my hand. My nose is itchy. Why do heroics? Why save my life where I pretend to be stoic? DNR, do not resuscitate. Advanced directive, end-of-life decisions. I wish I had made them to protect myself from this prison, dependent on others for all my care, a far cry from anywhere. Prepare your plan, old or young, so they know not to plug you in. There are worse things than dying. In peace.
Wow. Wow, I don't know where to start on this one. Tell me, where were you at mentally when you wrote this piece?
Well, I'm a retired RN, and I mean, I saw similar things like this, and I always, my coworkers, my friends, we would always say, don't plug me in. I don't want to ever live like that. And I saw too much of it, and there are worse things than dying. And when you think of it, that you're completely paralyzed, whether it's from an accident or you've got ALS or whatever the situation is, that you can't even scratch your nose. And to me, we have to really think about those kinds of things. If there's an accident or whatever, what do you really want to do? And I absolutely don't want to be a prisoner in my own body where others are caring for me. I mean, every single thing. I had a patient who could only move her thumb. She could just move her thumb. We had her for almost 2 years. And it was just brutal because we had to do everything for her. And she was brave, I think. But I never want to live like that. And that's where this comes from, is that type of story.
What? Okay. Ms. Lips, what you got for that?
The line that caught me when she said, they pulled me from this liquid coffin, that just hit me hard. I don't know why that caught my attention. So But yeah, that and although I've never had someone in my family who had to deal with being in paralysis in that way, I was with my grandmother's youngest sister when she passed, and I watched how slowly everything kind of shut down, and she got to a point where she couldn't do anything, and she was holding my hand, and I tried to take my hand away, and I felt her tension just a little bit, so I stood there and I held her hand. I stood there and held her hand, and until she finally stopped breathing.
Oh wow!
That was my grandmother's baby sister. And she kept calling me by my grandmother's name before she passed.
Wow.
Johnny, what do you have for that?
The section of your piece where your frustration started to sound more and more heightened. I'm sitting here and I'm catching myself, like, my legs are shaking because I'm like, I'm feeling that frustration of not being able to move, and I'm like making my legs move as if I have to do that. Like, you really projected that so well that it had me feeling frantic, like I need to be able to move. So that was some awesome storytelling there, and it put us in that person's place to at least
thank you so much.
Get a glimpse of what it may feel like. Yeah, that was really well done.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you.
Wow. Okay, ladies. I guess it's my turn. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn. What you got for us tonight?
All right. This is an old piece. I think you guys may have heard it before, because the piece that I was writing, it isn't finished to my satisfaction. So I'm going to give you guys this. It's called The Love I Now Have.
All right, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Sitting in the lovely seclusion of my solitude, I came to the conclusion that I am not everyone's cup of tea. Some I've left soured, and some just can't seem to get enough of the way that I taste. But I release all negative thoughts and uninvited energy to the universe, and I no longer give samples of me. So no one gets to play with pieces of my heartache while I'm on the healing journey through my heartbreak. No more looking for a corner to go and lick my wounds in after they've scarred me. I'm not loyal to that disloyal shit no more. It's just attempted temptation, so it isn't real to me. No longer part of my reality. No one welcomed me when I was in need of solace, comfort, love, and peace. So I ain't making no more excuses for the disappointment in my eyes. And they better understand during their pillow talk. So they can better understand during their pillow talk. And call it what you want. But I found my godly peace through my wisdom. And I'm true to the love I now have for me, because I would always save up my love for that one day he'll be here and then turn around and spend it on each one that I let in, hurting myself for every one of them. I got addicted to a losing game and just kept falling in love with the pain, not realizing that feeling of falling in love is one of a kind and unique, a unique type of space. So I had to teach myself how to stop searching for love, because what I thought I found every time really wasn't what it was. And then I fell in love with me when I got tired of them leaving out with pieces of my heart soaked in my tears and wrapped in their smiles. When I put up boundaries and I no longer doubled back, I was named the bad guy. Not that I give a fuck now, because I'm looking at love through my third eye, mask off and the bullshit unsheathed. No more games of using and hurting me. And I still sacrifice now, but for all the right reasons. Because I realize that every day is my season. From here on in, for my heart, I'll only do good deeds. This is the love I have now for me. Now, say peace.
Girl, stop looking in my window.
Listen, can you stop putting my business up there, please?
Thank you, lady. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, you have to, and I can't stress this enough to people. You must fall in love with yourself first. Make the greatest love of all your love for yourself first. Okay, and then everything else will fall in place. We are so preoccupied by everything else and everybody's situation that's going on around us, you know, or we are picking at scars. We claim we don't do it, and sometimes we're not conscious of it, but we do. We pick at scars that have, from sores and hurt and pain that have tried to heal, but they can't fully close and heal up because it's something that draws us back to that last little bit of pain and that last little bit of anger and, you know, that wanting to go back and just saying to yourself, I should have said that back then. I wish, I wish, I wish. But we got to leave it alone. Once it's passed, it's gone.
Yeah.
Leave it there. And start to focus on the beautiful divine spark within yourself. And everybody has it. You just got to recognize it and know that it's there. I'm going to kill my dog. I don't know if he got gas or if he actually pooped, but it, good Lord. Excuse me for 1 second, y'all.
That's
all right.
Yeah,
Ryan's
she
alluded.
Yeah, she alluded at one point.
Listen, you want to insult somebody, call him a dog fart, okay? it's disgusting. They just, oh, good Lord. But ladies, let's get to these artists we have on the mic because we got callers up in here. And the first
Can I just
one,
make a comment on your piece, please?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, sweetie. Go on. I'm sorry.
I think you're so such a positive person, and I hear this piece, and I want to be there. You know, we all learn from our mistakes, and you've learned a lot over your life, and I think to be able to, and I mean, I've learned from you, to be able to say that you love yourself enough now that you're not going to play any more games with any other human being, male or female, but the love game, you know, you know what you want, and if you don't have it, it's not like, you're not settling for anything. You won't settle for anything less than what you deserve, and certainly not for someone who loves you less than you love yourself. And I think that's a powerful journey you've been on, and you've shared it different times, and I really admire your strength.
Thank you. Thank you. And you are absolutely right. I ain't playing with nobody no more. And I'm not going to allow them to play with me. Okay.
The one thing that you said about going back to your exes made me remember an interview I saw on TV once. And I don't remember who the actress was, but somebody asked her about going back to somebody that she had been involved with before. And she said, no, because I don't read no books backwards.
I'm not that funny.
Yeah.
That ass is. But ladies,
that
we really
a
got
powerful
to it. That is very, very true. But let's get to these callers because they've been waiting for a minute now for us. Okay. Now, the very first caller we have on the mic is C-Double-34 Music, y'all. Hey, C-Double, how you doing? Welcome to Diva's Talk.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. I'm doing well. I love your pieces. Danielle?
Yes.
Your erotic line that I heard earlier. You do realize I am an artist and I am visual. I'm trying to be good, but I'm like, okay.
God, he's gonna let me live this down.
And Johnny.
Yes, sir.
You see what you did there, right there. See, you think you're slick, right there. See, I knew what you were doing.
You were in my mind with that piece. I swear you were. I remember
you. I've been watching these 40s movies. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you.
I love it. Oh, my God. That is so funny. Well, say double. Okay,
yeah.
So it is open mic, but you get to ask any one of us one question.
Okay. I'm going to ask Lady A. My question is, were you the stunt double in the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield playing the teacher?
Wow.
Say it again because I didn't hear half of it. Sorry.
Were you the stunt double in the movie Back to School playing the teacher to Rodney Dangerfield?
Okay. Well, I have to confess, I don't know who that actress was. Like, I can't answer the question. I don't know.
Well, her name was Sally Kellerman, in case you want to look
that up. Okay. Yes.
Okay. I am satisfied with your answer. Thank you.
All right, C Double, then what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I brought a piece called As One.
Right. I'm going to move out the way. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. You want to be one with me. Tell me how, when we don't think the same. I was born to be wild, a free spirit. Your corrections castrate me, intent to keep me tame and quiet. I was strong when you met me. Tell me, why can't we meet halfway? Didn't have much masculine examples in my past, but what God is doing in me, you don't like to change. You loved it when I submitted under the guidance of that church preacher. The man threw stones breaking my glass house. That stealing, cheating, lying, old dirty bastard. Woo! Because I say I am the church, you say I'm dumb and blasphemous. I guess the truth is out, and yes, it hurts. I'm not the kind of man you're after. You and me and you, us together as one. You and I, we are here. We may never. We're done. You love a sharp-dressed man. I'm more T-shirt and jeans. You say I'm too slow in reacting, but I'd rather listen and critically think. You want me to be romantic. When I give you love as substance, when I don't agree with all your ideas, that's when you start the cuss words. Tell me what for. You say you want me to lead. I say, get out of my way. Because I can't lead the same way you do. We don't think the same. You want us to be equal. I'm not interested in a man to sleep with or get freaky between these sheets here. What I need is my woman to be female. Oh, so you're questioning my leadership. Oh, so you think you've hurt my feelings here. You're now Lucille Ball playing loose with my balls. You got jokes now. You're a great comedian. So if you want a man to follow, baby, you got to trust. Me and my decisions on how to lead us, I won't lead you wrong. Baby, come home. You and me and you, us together as one. Me and you. You and I can do whatever. See? in love, you don't have to want no more. That's that piece.
Lucille Ball playing Lucille
Ball.
Yo, you watch? You wild. I love it. When you throw them that nostalgia in here, yeah. I can't even remember the rest of the piece because that put that line right there. It just took me. Oh my god!
My favorite line. My favorite line in this was, "I was strong when you met me." I need to borrow that. I love that.
I ain't borrowing.
The Lucille Ball line in that verse was like last minute. I didn't even have in that. This is remixed.
Was it? It fit just perfectly. Okay. Damn. Lisa, look what you got for that.
I've always admired the strength in your pieces. And you're that man that is going to be what a man was designed to be. And if you have a problem with you being that way, then that's your problem, because you're going to be who you are. And that's what I love about that piece, because throughout the piece, it made it sound like she was fighting you to be in charge, and you weren't playing her game. You were the man that you were from the beginning. And if she had a problem with you being that man, then she shouldn't have chosen you.
You got it.
There you go. Lady A, what you got for that?
Yeah, I thought it was, I agree with both Shanice and Lisa have said. And I think there's women out there who say, with, you know, that they want to have a man that's in charge and masculine and all that and a bag of chips. But really, the line that jumped out at me is that you want me to lead, get out of my way. And I think that's what's, in a lot of cases, what's happened. I think women have, as much as we want equality for, you know, equal pay for equal job, that sort of thing, be treated the same, the roles are different. And men are men and women are women. And I think you can, I always said that feminism, there's no femininity in hard feminism. And I think it was great that you want a woman to be female. And this whole piece, you have a lot of depth to you, and I really like that. This was a great piece to see men and women as they should be, really.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that power struggle.
I love it. I'm not going to get that line out of my head about Lucille Ball. I'm never going to look at I Love Lucy rerun the same ever again. Whenever it comes on, I'm going to have this smile on my face. Like, oh, my God. And I'm a visual person, too, Double. Okay. Very, very visual. I stated that earlier. Okay. So that image, Lord, all right, I'm going to leave it alone. And I'm going to get I'm going to have, since Lady A got to ask the question, I'm going to have her escort you over to the Temptation Station. You can go grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby.
I love scotch.
Oh.
We got you. We got you. One love, scotch, one mic.
One love, one mic to all of you.
Wow. Oh, man. Ladies, I truly believe in my heart, and I'm hoping and praying I'm getting this right with this next caller. This artist, we don't hear from often, you know, but we love her just the same, and I believe this is Mi Bella.
This is Bella. Hello,
I
this is Bella.
You've got me the right person there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I apologize. Well, who do we have on the mic? And welcome to Diva's Talk.
Good. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Me and Faria go way, way back. This is Constantine, the Mithril Weaver. How y'all doing tonight?
I have heard of you.
Now that I'm hearing this voice.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good. Now we're hearing that baritone coming up in here.
Yeah.
It's all good. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My goodness. Okay, well.
My inside shiver.
Say that again, Diva.
I'm sorry. Say that.
That voice just made my insides quiver.
Wow!
I would say for real, you know, we've known each other, gosh, probably 2009, 2010, somewhere around in there. It's been a long time, and one of the most talented individuals I've known over the years. And when he was first getting started, I helped because I did some radio and stuff. I helped him get his microphone set up. And he gave me some advice on writing good poetry. I gave him some advice on how to sound good on the radio, and we both made each other better. And I'll always consider him my brother. So, you know, he's a man.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. All right. Well, I hope we hear from you more often, honey, because that voice and you are the way that you articulate is it's delicious, I have to say. All right, let me calm myself down. So, Constantine, tonight is open mic, and you have the opportunity to ask any one of us divas, or you could address all of us with one question.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that I've wondered for a long time. I'm a very pale person. Nobody's going to be accusing me for being an African American, but my background is multiple different ethnicities. And it's funny, my wife was sitting there telling me, it's like how do you clarify that? She says, anybody that ever asked you just said the only thing white about me is on the outside. This is kind of just my perspective, you know, being, you know, related my Native American family and stuff like that. That's kind of the way I see myself. Yeah, and that's kind of the way I look at things, you know. So maybe my perspective's a little different. But, you know, one of the reasons why when I listen to shows like this, and sometimes I avoid shows because they ask me to be critical of other poets. And I sit back and I enjoy and I listen, but I'm not really good at being critical and going over somebody's piece and said, I like this, I don't like that, and getting into the nitty-gritty because kind of you know, when you take a bath, you can sit there and worry about, you know, what kind of soap you have, what kind of water you have, or you can just immerse yourself and just soak it all in. I'm one of those kind of people that just kind of soaks it all in, you know. And so if anybody could give me advice on being better at being how do you give good feedback? That's my question. Anybody that wants to give me that, I would love to, because I've never been very good at it. Usually what I go over to is I have a comedic side to me, and I'll usually make a joke or I'll say something humorous instead of giving something with substance. And I'd love to be able to be constructively critical without being funny. So that would be my question. Anybody that can give me advice on that, I could use it.
Okay, well.
Oh, yeah, people have been critical of me for sure. Yeah. That's good. Sometimes.
Well, okay, so. What I say is I take into consideration that we are artists and we are all sensitive about our shit, okay? So what I do is I listen to the whole piece. I really, really try to pay attention. And I don't give so much negative feedback, but I will emphasize if I think it's necessary to, or that poet to improve in that area, I will emphasize on that and say, you know, maybe if you slow down just a little bit, or, you know, pick up your flow a little bit. I will use particular words like that. And that way it doesn't sound so negative instead of saying, you know, you need to chill a little bit. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So you just got to, you know, monitor your words more so, because there's several different ways we can say something to someone. And what I will say is it is not our business how they internalize it, okay? But we can be mindful of how we say what we say to them. And that's the best I can give you.
Okay. I can get that. I can get that.
That's
usually what I want to do is say, I want to hear poetry that's going to make me feel it. I don't want to think it. I want to feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. Get it. Lady A, what were you saying?
I was just going to say that unless somebody's asking me for a critique, an honest critique, I will tell them what I do like about their poetry or their piece. If I don't have anything to say or I don't want to comment because it would be negative, then I would just find something within their piece to say that was a positive comment. Like I said, unless they're looking for absolute critique, that's what I would do. Very rarely does that happen, but if it does happen and they want to know, then I might say something privately, but not on a radio program.
Okay.
You know, something I've noticed, and you know, from doing poetry for a long time, like I have, and don't take this the wrong way, but this is the way I personally see it. There are white shows and there are black shows. And the white shows, although there are people certainly that, you know, I can, like, I guess, feel what they're saying, they're more analytical. And people of color, because of the perspective they have and the culture that they grow in, they just have a little bit more depth, a little bit more feeling, you know, into their pieces. Where, you know, as you know, if I want to get like a good, you know, schooling on, you know, how to be an English major, you know, there's certainly good shows like that. But you know, the people, when I have my black friends, you know, yes, I actually have some black friends, you know, they're just, I don't know, they just move me more. They touch me more, you know, and I don't know, it's hard to explain other than that. But I mean, there's a real distinction. You know, because as much as I love Nala, for those of you who are familiar with the Speakeasy show that's here on Blog Talk Radio, she's a great person. But, I mean, I actually make a joke about it. It's like, please, Nala, just want to say something bad about my poetry.
Okay. I can respect that.
It's almost like a challenge for her to say, that was shit, man. Anyway. But anyway, maybe I should do my piece, but I appreciate your advice. If anybody else has anything, I'd love to hear it. Otherwise, I'll start.
Oh, absolutely. The mic is yours.
And of course, for those of you who don't know me, I kind of have a thing, because sometimes I pause or something like that, and it really kind of throw you off. It's kind of like that joke, you know, it's like the other day, you know, it's one of the worst things to do is you're making love, you know, to your wife. She starts giggling. Of course, you know, it throws me off and I have to stop and see what she's reading. You know, so what I do when I'm reading my poetry is I say faded. But I say faded when I begin, and when I'm done, I say fade out. So if I may. Fade him. Gather together at the feet of the mithril weaver. Gaze into the heart of the candle. And as we sit together as one, let me tell you a tale that is not of race, but of those who are opposites that attract. I call it white chocolate, dark chocolate. White chocolate, dark chocolate, but was it chalked up too late? Loving her and her alone, yet this inattention, it neglected her. For my mind among the moonbeams, oh no, what I have not seen. has it done harm? For everything that you gave me, for the flights given, I love like on the moon far away, in the cold ignorance's tempest veil. For that she loves glaring like a bee at a flower, for that nectar just out of reach, as though it will be still a moment. Bated breaths begin, but beatings break bosoms, bastions benign. Why does she love, pulsing like a vein in the temple's most moist altar of she? The bitter sweet taste of dark and the sweet of white chocolate, and to think and to live does not give the fates of tempering and tearing apart that chromatic deportment. For that she loves you without any hope for peace, going without any inference and dreams and closed to the door. For she loves you and touches your forehead with her hand. For what you cannot always understand. For what you can always not believe that she actually loves me. But why does she love me? No one understands it. And what is it so tormented by, and so it raises her in her eye? Why does she love you, and who will return her when she tries to come back to herself? Oh, it hurts, and how it tempts us, so helpless that breath, if I do not want it to grow cold, but my steps are light, and I within the right hand of this, on her, gloved with this left hand of candor, for it seemed that many steps, but I knew there were only three, amidst the maples of the autumn mist whispered breeze. I asked, do you know that I would die to live for you? Have I tricked my dull but evil fate? Answered, dear, I hope you love you too. For this song and this meeting, I glanced at her hot house, only burning candles in the bedrooms, burning indifferent yellow frame in the flame, for your eyes are the arms that block out, and I forget my own name. For this is that world you bring when you're holding me. Your eyes see straight through my soul. Your smile plants something inside of me, regardless of those obstacles I do face. Your kiss in itself, a spiritual sharing, and my heart beats love only you, and I draw a breath that I might be what you need. Before you, I thought I was happy, my life full, but you are my strength, my focal point. Without you, I am lost. Could I breathe without you? Would my heart beat still? Is it my fortunate and fortune to love? But I would never feel complete again without you, I know, for you are the muse for which I have awaited. For these parts of me I kept hidden from the world, you know, easily, intimately, you understanding of me. On a level unknown to others, you are inside my only wall, a permanent resident of my heart and this broad-hearted soul. And I ache to give you peace, taking from you pain and turmoil while replacing it with the softest petals of gentle love, and sharing myself with you completely, becoming one with you. And our souls mingle, our hearts beat in unison, we share our thoughts, as we are joined hips and lips. And all I ask for you in return is true love. For as long as we have in the world, white chocolate, dark chocolate, perhaps not chalked up too late after all fade out.
Do you know what a woman's superpower is? It is being multifaceted. Beautiful, durable, youthful, intelligent, strong, vulnerable, sexy, tender, attentive, nurturing, and full of pure love. That was so swoon worthy, which you did just now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Your voice gives me theater, live theater performance. Oh, my goodness. There's so much about that piece. But that's all I can say is we are multifaceted. We don't really need a reason to love you. We just do. And I love that piece. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't wait to listen to the playback. This is a must that I hear this again and again and again. Janice, what do you have for that?
I am in complete agreement. I love your style. It's classical. I could listen. I will be listening to this so many times on repeat. Like your approach. I love the language that you use for that. For these parts of me, like it has such a classical feel. Thank you for bringing this piece and for sharing with us. This is beautiful.
Absolutely, Lady A.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. I think that this reminded me very much of the Romantic era. In your speech, in your word phrases, very much, you know, like Percy Shelley or Lord Byron, Keats, those old, in the Romantic era is where this piece belongs, and you did it so well that it transported me to that time of that Romantic era, and to be able to have a lengthy poem and speaking of the love that you had and how this woman makes you feel, to me was it's brilliant. It was very well done.
Absolutely. Miss Lips?
Lord Constantine, thou hast come within my chamber and laid waste to my emotions.
Excellent.
Yes, exactly. I feel like the lady in waiting. Oh my goodness, I can say
right.
That on a single one. Goodness gracious. Woo! That was absolutely exquisite. Oh my goodness gracious.
You are all far Woo. You are all far, far too kind. However, I do appreciate that.
Look, we're not just being kind. This is the truth. You know, came up here and did the thing to us, okay? Got us feeling a certain kind of way. And I truly, truly appreciate it. Ooh, wow. I hope that this won't be a one-time thing. I'm really looking forward to hearing from you again and again and again. You know? Hint, hint.
Where can we find you?
Yes.
I'm the only person in America with my last name the way I spell it. So if you look up KONSTANTIN and put the MITHRILWEAVER, Constantine the Mitchell Weaver, I'm on Reverb Nation. I'm on Facebook. I'm on. Yeah, it's Constantine. Yeah, and let's see. where else am I? YouTube. Also, I'm on YouTube. So if you find Constantine or Miss Weaver, you can find me. I'm definitely out there. And of course, I have like about 40 tracks or more on Reverb Nation. I was number one global on spoken verb, on spoken word there on Reverb Nation more than once when I was a little bit more active on there. So I was very, I quit putting things up so much, you know, and I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe I should try doing that a little bit more. I don't know.
Do you mind spelling your last name again for me?
I'm sorry?
Do you mind spelling your last name again for me?
Oh, sure. It's K-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N with no E. Constantine.
Okay.
And Ron Constantine or Constantine the Mr. Weaver, but you can find me. I'm out there, and I'm the only one that's named that out there. So I'm the only one in America as far as I know, so. So anyway, but
are you on All
Thank
Poetry?
You. I'm sorry.
Are you on?
Yeah, I think probably I am on All Poetry, but I don't know that I've submitted very many pieces on there. But I think I might be. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is I know that's kind of weird, but usually I avoid poetry shows because people ask me to be critical of other poets, and I don't like it. I know that sounds terrible, but I mean, I love reading the poetry, but I don't know. I just don't want to. I'd like to just sit back and enjoy, you know. And I like being I like co-hosting and I like talking about stuff. It's just I don't like being critical of other poets, you know. I like being color, you know. But you know, that's just my thing, I suppose. You know.
Well.
So is it? It's forgive me for asking another question, but Konstantin Simonov, Simonov.
No. No. That would be a Russian poet. No, it's just Ronald. Konstantin is my last name.
Oh, it's Ronald. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you can find me. Oh. I'm around on there, on Facebook, on YouTube.
Well, I believe after tonight, you're going to be getting some extra friend requests. And I, too, am a very, very old friend of For Reals. I think I've known him longer than you have, but I'm going to be talking to him about you because I really,
hey,
really
you
want to
hear my – you know, I do a I do an impression of For Real. You want to hear it?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, here you go.
Come bring me your kindness.
Oh, my God.
Through all the madness, woman, won't you know with you I'm born again.
But I'm much prettier than I am.
We are not going here to end of this, especially me. Oh, wow. I have to definitely give him a call later on tonight or tomorrow. You did sound like him. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
But I'm much prettier than that man. So.
Oh my goodness! Okay, so For Real, Sam, he hears you. He just put it in his head. He hears you. Okay.
Yeah, and I would never disrespect Phil. He's my brother. I have nothing but love for him. So, you know, just having fun.
That is, it's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Oh, wow. All right. Well, Constantine, I appreciate you calling in and blessing the mic, blessing us with that amazing piece and conversation. That was awesome. If you can find the event page for Divas Talk, please put some of your information in there. Share it with us so we can share it and, you know, get this ball rolling on who you are and what you do.
Okay.
I really, really enjoyed you, you know. And like I said, that was very serious. There will always be an open mic waiting here for you, always. So please do not be a stranger.
No, don't say that. You hadn't heard me try to rap yet, so anyway.
Oh, Lord. I'll tell you what. we can get some of that when you come back again, because, you know, Epiphany has a show for every night of the week. This particular one, Divas Talk, is every Wednesday night at 9. So, as I said before, thank you very much for coming here and blessing us with your talent and that voice. Lord, that voice, Lord. Lord, forgive me for my thoughts. In the meantime, I'm going to have, matter of fact, I'm going to escort you over to the Temptation Station, and you can grab yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby, one love, one mic. Ooh, ladies, ladies, ladies. I almost forgot. We got to pay the bills again. It's 35 minutes into the hour. And let me do this snippet. I'll be right back. Goodness. Anybody else that tries to imitate for real is going to touch that one, because he, goodness gracious, not the singing, okay? I can't get that voice out of my head. It's all right, though. Okay. Next, the artist on the mic is one half hoes up, King and Queen's Quarter. And also the host of, what is it, Mahogany Soul Juke Joint. We got ourselves a Queen Simmons, a.k.a. Still Zwina, a.k.a. Edwina Simmons. Hey, Diva. Welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight?
Hey, ladies. How are y'all doing? I'm doing okay.
You feel much better. Oh, I hope you feel much better.
Yeah, I'm coming along. Still a little raspy. Not as the last guy. That was nice to listen to.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's understatement. Lord, I have to remind myself he's a married man, so I'm not gonna get disrespectful, but my thoughts is real disrespectful. I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, God.
Ain't help with you.
Oh my God. I know that's right.
He seems like a charmer too. He know what he's doing. I'm going to leave that alone now.
Yeah.
tonight is open mic, Diva, but there's a twist. You get to ask one of us one question, or you can pose it to all of us. So what would you like to ask?
What would I like to ask? All right. Let's see. I'll start with essentially Janice. I haven't heard very much from her recently, so I have to mess with her. Okay, essentially Janice. Why do you perform your poetry? What is your driver in your performance, when you perform your poetry and share it?
That is interesting, because I resist that. I honestly don't consider what I do performing it. I may share it, I may try it, but I'm still working towards the performance part of it. But the reason that I share it is my hope is that my words may be what someone else may not have been able to express, I guess. And just to make sure someone doesn't feel alone, you know. Someone else feels the same. Someone else understands, but I'm working on a performance piece. I just recited it.
I understand. But I feel like your poetry is like, it's so intimate. It's like, you know, I wonder what drives you to be, you know, be willing to share it. Yeah,
it's definitely reflection. And I'm working on being more open, to be honest. But, yeah, it's reflective pieces for the most part. And connection. I think connection is really important. So if by sharing I'm able to connect, then that's kind of what drives me.
Okay. I love that. I love that. I love your perspective, too. And I would like to pose the same question to the rest of the table, if I can.
And the question, can you repeat the question again?
What drives you to share the parts of yourself that you share when you recite or perform or share your poetry?
Ooh, it takes courage for me to be as transparent as I am. And all my poetry is very transparent. I am open when I finally do. But there are a lot of pieces that I am very apprehensive about sharing with you guys. But eventually I will open up and I'll give you snippets of certain pieces. I won't give you the whole piece. But it's just my life and wanting people to understand within my pieces that you're not by yourself. You're not alone. I've gone through this, and I know I'm not the only one that has dealt with this, that has had these type of feelings and has had these experiences. That's pretty much it for me.
I love that answer. Ms. Lips or Lady A?
For me, there's like several facets for me. The romanticism is mostly, and the eroticism is mostly fantasy. Some of it may be based on something real, but I carry it way beyond whatever that real situation was. And current events poetry is actually my lifeblood. I was a news producer for years, and having to hear these stories, and I was in the newsroom actually through 9/11, and that was a really tough time for me. I want to write pieces that tell the stories of the people who never get to tell their story. The piece that I did about the school shooting, I Just Want to Go Home, was told as one of the children that was shot in that room, because that's the voice we miss.
Right. Yeah.
That's part of it that we don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like telling the untold story.
Okay. And I definitely see that in your poetry from all of the different perspectives that I've heard you speak from. I do hear you telling the untold story. Thank you. Lady A?
For me, my writing is a voice for me. I have, throughout my life, felt that I had no voice. And I suppose that's why I hid my poetry for so many years. Because I thought nobody would want to know what I had to say about anything. Because growing up and throughout my life, my voice was silenced in so many different ways. And so writing poetry for me is the freedom to speak my mind, my heart, no matter what the topic is. And I can give my opinion or my feelings through my writing and tell a story, and also to, you know, socially, politically, you know, there are things that perhaps, you know, not everybody agrees with, but it still gives me a voice to be able to express myself and to be able to share it with others. Because so many other people's, you know, you ladies, your poetry touches me. You know, I learn something all the time from your writings, and so I receive that gift from other writers. And I hope I can share the same thing when I share my pieces.
Wow. Okay, I appreciate that. You see, it's like a common thread, though. I feel like the four of you all have different personality types, but the need to be heard or to share a certain perspective is like a common thread. And then other than that, it's like we're sharing in each other's frequency. And I love that so much. And I love that about the dynamics of your show. It's really cool. So thank you guys so much for answering the question for me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Now, according to Ms. Salmon, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
No, thank you. I wrote this piece called Therapy versus Paranoia. And I wrote it because, you know, I was actually in therapy. And I'm like, I was thinking to myself, like, does this make sense? Are we getting anywhere? Am I making any headway? And then it's like, this is just what came out after I wrote that. I was thinking about that.
All right. Well, the mic is yours.
Therapy versus paranoia. I sometimes imagine them listening the way clever foxes do hen houses, salivating over the fat bottom fodder of my life in shambles. Still, I speak in memorial to all the unsaid things. I speak like the Savannah red dirt my mother craved when I was a babe did coat my tongue in. If I only opened up my mouth, the soil would find sun, and the alchemy of exposure be the perfect bed for the rock rose that is the remarkable display of me. I mean, the graveyard got as much dirt as the garden. The soot can be used for more than covering up the dying. The pain repurposed into purpose, on purpose, and it's an earnest offering. Yes, I've suffered. I survived. Now I will thrive, or in the very least I'll scream for help till help should arrive. Rare said that my soul still tethered to bone is the art, the brilliant expression of war scars. Your honest voice is unique, our audible display of self. All I have to do is speak. It is my voice that makes me brave. I speak until the walls shake and speak as if my story is in my name, and my name be ancient hieroglyph cliff notes reminding generations of young girls of the power in the chakra in your throat. I speak, and he takes notes. And I speak all the while feeling as if my secrets are nothing more than the masterpieces in his next thesis. I speak until my time is up. I gather my pieces and I leave, but I find myself in a space of bliss that I never want to leave. I am merely the primordial ooze of a butterfly in between, enjoying the process of breaking. No, this ain't suffering. I speak as if my ancestors are speaking up for me. And that's that piece.
You better speak.
Wow.
Girl. Oh, yes. Yes. Wait a minute. You said the primordial what, butterfly? What?
The primordial
ooze. I am playing, yeah.
Wow.
Like, you know.
Girl.
Because
I
was thinking about that state when the caterpillar goes into, you know, this becomes like a ball of goo inside of that, like the primordial, like the makings of things. It's all broken and disgusting, but it's changing into something else. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. And I can't wait to listen to this playback. That was amazing. Oh,
yeah.
What you got for that?
There's so much power in the words that you use and the way that you use them. I am so admirous of the way that you speak such power. When I first met you, you seemed so timid and quiet, and then I saw you on stage. And when you stood and spoke, I was like, this woman is a powerhouse. She doesn't even realize, you know, and I've watched you evolve since then, and you've just become more and more powerful every time I hear you speak. I think you're amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Donnie?
This is another piece that was all up in my business, I swear. You got like two lines, and I just closed my eyes and just sat with it like, man, here she go. I garden, right? So part of what you were talking about was the soil, and there's a connection that I have to it. Like I, when I need to ground myself, I'm barefoot and I'm out there in the grass. It calms me. So when there's a line where you said that the graveyard got as much dirt as a garden, and I'm thinking it can either be part of the garden or part of the graveyard. So where am I choosing? Where am I nourishing? You know, can you? There's a line also where you said that you mentioned soil coating your tongue, and all you needed to do was open your mouth to let the sun shine in. Am I getting that right? Like that is me.
I speak like the Savannah red dirt my mother craved when I was a babe did coat my tongue. And if I only open up my mouth, the soil would find sun. And the alchemy of exposure be the perfect bed for the rock rose that is a remarkable display of me. My mother actually did crave. She had pica really bad, and she had family bring up clots of dirt from down in Savannah, Georgia, the red dirt. But, just thinking about, like, all of the tragedies and the things that have happened, and it's like you have this. You have what you have to work with, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you going to do with it? And even in therapy, it's like, one part of my mind is always in doubt that there's any progress and that I'm nothing more than a spectacle for this person. But the other side of it is like, you know, just the process of speaking is taking that dirt and using it for the dirt and the soil and those dirty things about our lives, those dirty little corners, and using them to fertilize something as opposed to just covering up those secrets and lies and the curses that we keep repeating because we never want to talk about them. So,
Absolutely. Lady A?
Thank you.
Yeah, I love you. I think that you're an amazing person and an amazing writer. I love that you, throughout this piece, said, I speak of all the things, because it is the only way that you can not only just communicate with somebody, but to be able to release those things, those thoughts inside of you, and the history and the future, it rests in your breath, in that speak, as it does for all of us. And you've articulated this so beautifully and so well. And I can't say enough, because you have such a beautiful gift. And you do speak, and when you speak, people listen.
Thank you so much for that mahogany soul. That's what I feel like you got tonight, mahogany soul. But before I let you skate off and into the Temptation Station, can you let everybody know what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio's universe?
Absolutely. So I hope that you guys could come back on a Friday night and join me here, same bat time, same bat channel. we are going to be exploring the blues. I'm going to set a mood, you know. The juke joint was meant to be like a place where, you remember the old times, the juke joints back in the day, you used to have the wooden floorboards and the rough and gritty. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going back to. I'm going to pull out some Muddy Waters, and I want to get into that, you know, to the blues. So I hope you guys are doing anything to enjoy me. Yes. Hmm?
Oh, I'll be there. We call them speakeasy now. That's what we call them.
That's my favorite genre of music is blues. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Come through there.
Oh,
definitely going to have a good time.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. I'll be there. I'll be there with some flies on and a comfortable skirt and probably a tank top hanging loose.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to hear you.
No, that's where I can get. I get down and get dirty blues. I just love it.
That's all I needed to know. That I'm not the only one. I'm like, you can't let it die. Like, you know who's bringing it back? I'm like, why? I wish it would come back more to us, but like the Teskey Brothers. The Teskey Brothers, have you ever heard them?
Uh-huh.
They have a song called Rain, and who sings that? I've been loving you too long to stop now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but he sounds so much like him. But it's a white guy, and I was so surprised. But I'm like, at least the feel isn't dying. So we're going to bring it back, and we're going to get back in that crate and take it back to the blues. So come on through and join me.
Wow.
Oh, I'll be there with bells on. And let me escort you over here to Temptation Station, so graciously named by Joe, the line dancer. And go get yourself. See, you can grab yourself a hot toddy tonight because it sounds like you need some clearing out of them orifices, the nasal passages and, you know, other things. And you can still sit back, put your feet up, take your socks off. Baby, baby. One love.
Baby, baby.
One love of mine. Yo, she is a beast. I'm trying to tell you, I was an instant fan
of her. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. We got another. Cause we got some callers in here, ladies. So we're not going dilly dally. We got an area code 909. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
Hola, divas.
There
you are.
Yes,
here I am. Hola, my son. My goodness, it's so good to hear you, girl. Wow.
I've been listening.
I seen your number. I didn't know that was yours though. I had got it mixed up with the baritone that was up in here. Ooh, child, that voice. But welcome, darling. I'm trying to behave, okay? This is Divas Talk, not the Erotic Love Zone. Well, Della, this is open mic tonight, but you get to also ask us one question. Now, you can ask one diva, or you can pose it to us all.
Okay. I love you guys. You guys are muy familia. But earlier, I listened to you read, and it's about loving yourself first, right? Because I learned that here with you guys before. I remember a year ago, 2 years ago. So, La Perla, when did you start loving yourself?
I started loving myself after my husband passed, which was actually 8 years ago yesterday. It was the anniversary of his death. I found out who I was. I realized how much I could endure, my strength, and that I actually have a light inside of me, and that people find it being very pleasant around me, and they always leave with a good feeling. So that's when I fell in love with myself.
thank you. Because like I said, I learned that from you guys. When I joined one show, and then someone told me about loving yourself first. So that really got me here. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you that. Thank you very much, Laprella, for answering my question.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for coming. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I have a vignette, and I don't really write poetry that much anymore, so I found one, a vignette, and I would like to share this one for you guys. Hola, essentially Mama A and Lisa. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, my love.
All right.
So,
mic is yours.
I will start. Okay, thank you. Fuera de la vista, fuera de la mente. A vignette. Out of sight, out of mind. Hacia 2022. Tres, el principio del fin. I have imagined how your thoughts would taste like on my unknown elocution, if the sweet nodding will still glide smoothly on my distant mother tongue, or will it simply be just like me, indecipherable, impenetrable, indistinct, bewilderment, floating across the ocean, finding the missing note fitting to my tone. Dos, la historia. With you, I made myself fragile, like a tapestry of contorted cashmere, interwoven with your delicate love, and that helped undrive the entire definition of me. We were in our own dimension, forgetting what time can unfold. It was different with you. I was different with you. I was healing for a moment. I was less trying to be perfect. You made me see emotions with great elan. I became less calculated, made myself explore things with you beyond what I have trained a heart should do. I was a mystery carefully unfolded with just the thought of you, vulnerable enough to show all my hues, unashamed to show you patches of my wounds with you. I learned to smile while weeping, dream of dreams while awake, love and beloved while painting. And it was you, only with you. Uno, el final de nuestro comienzo. The end of our beginning. Dear you, they said love is unfaltering, the only existence I thought perdurable to time. But look at us, disconnected from our broken fusion, two constellations raging, yet worlds apart, separated by millennium of hours, no longer remembering how our story has started. How can you tell someone that you love them? You know what will be the best for them. How do I tell you that? I need you, but someone deserves you more than I do. How can you make the person see what you want them to see? For each time I see you, my emotions walk on a thin glass. That I know, any given moment, it will break right before me. Just to allow things to fall apart before I even wanted them to be saved. And for every breathing moment, my mind wonders about what you do. My tears start to race towards the edge of my veiled eyes, dangling, trying not to break into millions of shards. The taste of struggle lingers at the back of my throat, choking me with our ego, killing me with my own pride until I can no longer cry, until my soul collapses in my own hands, till no words to utter. Awaken only to realize I lost us with it. Now, all I have left is a breaking whimper, trying to escape from my lungs, yelling, screaming, shattering. I still love you. I still do. But we are destined to be this way, like pieces of puzzles always missing, then pretend we never existed till I have nothing left to say. But is it over now? Yes, it's over. And that fractured me more, with all my heart, with all my might, with all that I am, Isabel.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, mi bella, mi bella, mi bella.
Go ahead, Lady A.
May I?
Yes, go ahead.
I love your writing. It's so wonderful to hear you read your poetry and you share your thoughts. And you wonder, you know, this piece here, and I know you enough to know that you sacrificed yourself. This piece speaks to, this is what I get out of it. You know, you sacrificed the love you had for this man, thinking that it was better for him that you not allow yourself to love him, and you lost each other in the process. And I know you still love him, and I love that you put this in your poem, that I still love you, that you really do still love him. And it's a very personal piece, and I see lots in between the words and in between the lines. And, you know, your bravery and your, I almost want to call you a saint, because you put other people's feelings before your own to the nth degree. And this piece spoke to that to me. This is, was a brilliant.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you, Emma.
Janice?
My stands out to me. I love hearing this piece. You said, with you, I made myself fragile. That speaks to me. With you, I was different.
Mm-hmm.
It's so transparent. And you put your emotion, it's so apparent as you're reading your pieces, and it's touching, it's relatable. It's beautifully expressed, and it touched me, definitely. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, essentially.
For me, I just kept getting images of beautiful, colorful silken threads. Silk is a beautiful, beautiful, delicate piece of fabric, but the fiber is so strong. And for me, that is who you are. You've been through so much emotionally, physically, even with your health, and yet you still remain so beautiful. And that's all I could see in my head when I was listening to you do this piece, that even through all of that, you still remain beautiful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Bella, you know I am a fan of you as a person and definitely of your poetry. This was so beautiful and relatable because I have been there. I have been that woman that I found out who I was and I could be myself, which is something I had to hold back for a long time from a lot of people in my life. And then I met that one special one where I thought, you know, it was going to be my forever person. But it, you know, life happens, shit. But that was absolutely beautiful. I loved it. And I can't wait to hear another piece from you. Got to cut this commentary short because we still got a lot of other callers in here, and we are officially into overtime. We're 10 minutes into overtime. So Bella, I'm going to get Miss Lips to escort you over to the temptation station. You sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby, thank you for coming.
I love you, baby.
Love you, too.
Love you, guys.
Love you,
Bella.
Beautiful, beautiful piece. All right, ladies, this next artist we have on the mic is the area code 469. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
MD Live.
Woo, hey. We spoiled now. You've been coming regularly, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it. How are you tonight?
I'm doing real good tonight.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, this is open mic.
How are you,
tonight.
Ladies?
Good. This is open mic tonight, but you get to ask us one question. So what would you like to know?
Okay. It's an open question, so anybody can answer it. The name that you use to represent your poetry, was there a different name that you used in the past that you saw was this name that you use now is a better fit?
My name was given to me by a very good friend of mine who passed away. We were sitting and talking one night, and he looked at me. He was a Puerto Rican, and said, La Perla Negra. I was like, what? And he said, it means the black pearl. He said, that's what you are. That's what I see when I look at you. And I was like,
okay.
I cried a little bit. And I thought it was precious. I thought it was beautiful. And that was it. There's no other pen name. As a matter of fact, when I first came to Epiphany, they was like, you gotta get a pen name. And that's what I used. I remember that.
Okay. I asked that question because my nickname name used to be just MD.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with that. And it was a negative, you know, a negative name for me because I was a wild child, so people started calling me MD, which was mentally disturbed.
Everybody
used to call me. Yeah, but I was wild.
I was born with bad dogs. Okay.
And I met this professor that teaches at SMU who knew Maya Angelou personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she had wrote that poem, I Rise, I wrote
mm-hmm.
one called I Still Rise. And
ooh.
He found a way to get it to her.
Okay.
And so I received a letter back, because I always signed everything MD at the bottom. I received
okay.
a letter back, and it said MD Live. Like, I'm gonna have to use that. And on the back of it, it told me what it stood for, so that's why I use MD Live. And it's masterfully
okay.
designed with love, integrity, vulnerability, and empowerment.
Woo! Wow. That's awesome. What an honor to receive that. Oh, man. All right.
Yeah.
I would love for the rest of our ladies to get to that question, but we still got other callers waiting. So what I want you to do,
okay.
I'm going to go into the mic, okay, and stand back out
all
the way.
All righty. Okay, this is one of my conversation pieces. And it starts with it goes back and forth, woman and man. So you might hear me pause when I transfer from woman to man. And it's the woman who speaks first. I have yet to heal completely from the pain and the misery. For years, I have tried to become the old me. The old you was broken and abused. And although that will forever be a part of you, it's the new you and the strength you attain that I choose. You don't understand. I don't think I can love again. The pain runs too deep. Who would ever want a woman like me? I am willing to be that man if only you could give me a chance. I can't promise you I won't hurt you. That's something no man can do. But I do promise I'll do my best not to. I've been hurt in ways you can't understand, even by someone I thought was the perfect man. My apologies for what he done to you, but the thought of a perfect man, there is none. He might present himself as the perfect one, but under all, he has flaws. Are you saying all men are the same? If so, I know I'll never love again. That's not what I'm saying at all. Everyone has some type of flaws, but those flaws, but if those flaws include you ending up with a slap or punch, those are not flaws. They are disrespectful reasons he should never grace your space. I've been through so much over the years, and I've cried so many tears. The pain in my heart is something I truly fear. I have yet to heal completely. I am a work in progress. Baby, by the grace of God, we all are. In peace.
Wow. That was pretty deep. Johnny? Johnny, is you still with us? Okay, we're going to go to Miss Lips.
That was beautiful. That was, I love conversations like that. Where you get to hear different points of view. And it's sometimes hard to convey, but you did a really good job. I really appreciate
it. I had a fear in there.
Oh, thank you, thank you. My little sister started me writing conversation pieces, and I've seen you keep writing them.
Okay. Lady A?
Yes, I have to agree with that. I think there's something to be said, and there's been a few poems tonight with that type of essence to it, with that's the speaking of the individuals to each other. It was like listening into a private conversation when you read. It was really creative too, and it was lovely to hear the words between these two people. It was a lovely write.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
The transparency in it is very, very, it's heartfelt and it's very touching because it speaks to a story, I believe, inside of a lot of us and the things that we deal with. Some things we want to say, but we don't say them, or we just can't say them. I love this piece. I'm a fan. I'm absolutely a fan. And I hate to seem like I'm rushing you, but I still got other callers up in here, and we're way into overtime. So I thank you for coming through. I'm going to escort you personally over to Temptation Station. You can grab yourself something to drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby, baby, one love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
All right, ladies, next caller we have in here on the mic is one half host of Just Jay and Gina's show. We got ourselves, Gina Storm. Hey, Gina, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Happy Wednesday. I'm happy to be here.
All right. I thought you were mutating for a second. You've been on the ball. You haven't done that in a while.
Look, hold on. 9 times out of 10, I swear, if you get dead air on the radio, on the mic, or on the stage, it's because
I was on mute.
It's all right. It's all right. Now, tonight is open mic, but you can ask us one question. So what would you like to know?
I like to ask you this, La Perla Negra.
Okay.
Because I've always had a connotation with divas and women who are doing extra and just way too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know why diva is the phrase that y'all use to describe yourselves, because in my mind's eye, I was thinking, they make being a diva sound like a good thing. I want to know how you came to that result.
It wasn't actually me. I just followed suit because I was fresh meat in the pond. I honestly, when I address women, I prefer to call them empress, because there's so much more to it than that. And I get where you're coming from. There is a negative thing attached to the word diva, but when we use it in a positive manner. It's just a term of endearment for us. And that's pretty much it. I also like to use the term.
You know what? Here's the thing, because you know what? Let me explain something to you, because this is where I got the diva from. I went to a concert that I had won tickets for on the radio in Chicago, and I got the VIP treatment, which was great. But then I found out the divas are not just women, they're also men, because mm-hmm. it was Anita Baker mm-hmm. and Luther Vandross. And Luther divaed it up, and Anita was humble and grateful and thankful, you know, for the love, the adoration, the support, and the fans. And Luther was in another headspace, and I was like, ooh, I don't think that women should just be calling them divas, because sometimes men are too. And that was my first, you know what I'm talking about, girl? That was my introduction to divadom, because I had never seen mm-hmm. a diva before perform. This mm-hmm. man came out like, we better kiss the ring and bow down to the king. I'm talking about mm-hmm. it was extra. I was so embarrassed to be, you know, in I was like in row three, you know, the C-section. So in the middle, right in front of the stage, two rows back, there was two rows before me and then me. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I wouldn't need on the radio. And I still want my money back. So, you know, that's what I got. So I want to thank you for clearing that up, because, no, for real. That's why I asked it. I was like, I'm going to ask you the part of the about the deeper thing. Because it had been not vexing me, but making me perplexed. Because why would mm-hmm. they want to be associated with something that has a negative connotation? But what you're doing is changing the narrative. And I mm-hmm. salute that, Diva. I love y'all for this. This, for me, is a necessity, not an option. So I was thinking, I like it here, and I don't see no divas, but I hear you, and now I know why mm-hmm. you say that, and it makes sense to me.
Absolutely. Because, you know, diva is more of an attitude and a behavior of a person. It's not a feminine thing or a masculine thing. It's an attitude and a behavior. And Beyonce, what's she saying? Female is a diva is a female version of a hustler. That's not what it is. That isn't what it is. And it goes much deeper than that. But you're welcome, darling, and thank you for always supporting.
I get that.
What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Oh yeah, we got to move it along, because y'all in overtime. Yeah. So mm-hmm. here's the thing. I was with you and King Atterbury on Monday, and I spit a piece that I've added to. So that's not going to be a freestyle. It's a previously written piece that I added to, so it's going to be a key style. So I want to key style that piece for y'all.
All right. Well, the mic is yours.
So. Oh, wait. Am I still off? Yeah. So. Here's the thing. I had to pull it up. I'm like, that's a
the struggle with reading. You got to find the peace. So I found the peace. So I'm going to call this. La Pico. La Pico in Spanish means little me. Dear little me, I'm writing to prep you for things that are coming. See, I've seen it time and time again, kissed a familiar fog, posting a homosexual, discounting yourself. This part is important because in all your life you need to know this. And I see it as a necessity for the things that's coming to be. So I need you to know that some will be good, a few bad, many happy, several sad, some scary, but plenty will be funny. Enjoy life. Breathe in the possibility. Exhale the negativity. And always dream big. Stay in your lane and travel whenever possible. Take plenty of pictures and cherish memories. Love people and never covet things. Because family is everything. True friendship and poetic connections are awesome. Things yet to be seen. But they will mold you into the queen that you will be. So embrace that part to infinity. Never give up. You will fail, but always get back up. You're going to bounce back, I assure you. You will be told that you're worthless, yet you are priceless. So don't listen. You've been continuously royalty since your first moment on the third rock from the sun. And that unworthy influence simply is on one. Start no shit, but take none either. You're built to be a nurturer and a giver. Know the difference between being used, abused, and tolerated from unconditional love and being celebrated. Please remember that you're not afraid of storms. Not ever. Because you are one. In peace.
I know that's right. I told you the last time I heard that was my favorite part of the piece. That ending line, okay, and it still remains my favorite part of that piece. You will hear negativity, and you will hear positivity. And for some reason, I don't know, a lot of us find it easier to believe the negative things that are said to us rather than the positive things, because you have a tendency to hear more that negativity is pushed on you than positive reinforcement. But I love that piece, Gina. I really do. Miss Lips, what you got for that?
Thank you, LaPerla. Yeah. That's always the narrative. So I appreciate the fact that that's what you picked up on. And I needed that because I was afraid of storms previously.
Okay.
Listening to that piece, I see some of myself in it, and I am working on being the storm that you claim that you are. I want to be the storm too.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
lady,
this don't make me cry, girl. My feelings. So. I appreciate that, and I salute it. And I'm gonna tell you this too: that storm is in you. Let her loose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady A.
Yeah, it was very moving to hear you, and I guess I got lost in it a little bit too, because I've been walking in a storm for a long time, and I'm not at the place that I can say that I am the storm. I have a ways to go yet, but I think that you provided a bit of encouragement for me and to anybody else that's struggling in that department, and I thank you for that.
And to that, Lady A, I will say this. You are hesitant with trepidation because you're worried about the storm being something that you are. But the fact that you even acknowledge it lets me know that it's in you. Tap into it. I trust you. You got this. Let's go, girl.
Thank you.
Right. There you go. All right, Miss Storm, thank you for that. Before I let you skate up out of here, can you please tell everybody what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to try to do that in like scant seconds because my phone is coughing, needing oxygen by means of charging. So I'm going to say this simply and be done with it. This Saturday night at 8 Central, 9 Eastern, if you are available, call into the same number to Epiphany Universe where you can catch myself and Just Jay and Gina's show. We'll be having an interview with AJ Wan. It's spelled W-O-N-E, but it is pronounced one. So AJ is going to be on one. He's going to be in the comfy couch, and we're going to interview him and get to know him as a poet. You can listen to the amazing person that he happens to represent, and everything about him is the epitome of what we need here at Epiphany. So if you're available, please join us. And if not, listen to the replay. Thank you. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. All right, ladies, we have one last caller in here. And this is an area code 682. Welcome to Divas Talk. Who do we have on the mic?
We have Keith Eric, Renaissance Poet. How you guys doing tonight?
Yo, hey. What's up? Hey, we all just woke up just now. All right. Hey. How you doing tonight?
Man, I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm good. You know me at the J-O-B. So.
I know. I understand. Believe me, I understand. All right. Well, thank you for holding on and being here. Tonight is open mic, but you also get to ask us one question. So what would you like to know?
I would like to ask, who was the first poet that you ever heard or read?
Wow.
Ooh. The first poet that I ever heard and read was Edgar Allan Poe, and it was also, I believe it was, I was so young, The Raven. And
probably The
I
Raven,
really,
yeah.
Yeah, I fell in love with his work right then and there. It, being a kid back then, because my mother, she believed in just giving us books about everything. It was a little scary for me because I'm a very visual person and I can put myself in the story. So I imagined the damn bird talking and hearing his voice kind of scared me. But it was something about it that kept me coming back to him.
I can appreciate that. Edgar Allan Poe has found his way into many of my poems. So.
Yeah, I can hear it in your in the way that you speak, period. You have a certain way of articulating your words, and I appreciate it too. Ladies, you want to answer the question as well?
I'm piggybacking off of what you said. I was blessed to have a very eclectic second grade English teacher, and our textbooks were Edgar Allan Poe and Robert Louis Stevenson, and that's where I learned my love for poetry. That's where I learned my love for poetry, because she taught us English out of those two books.
Okay. Lady A?
I can't remember how old I was, but it was in grade school, and the poet was Bliss Carman, who was a Canadian poet, and he spoke about. I'm just trying to bring it up here quickly. But that was the first poet. I want to keep time with that. He was a Canadian poet who spoke a lot about the like the Moors, of New Brunswick and Nova Scotia in particular. And he spoke about it in a beautiful way. I would give you an excerpt, but we don't have time. But he was the first one that piqued my interest in poetry. And because he was Canadian and because the areas that he wrote about are the areas around where I live. So, yeah.
Okay. Nice question, Keith. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
All right, I have a poem that I wrote years ago called Strange Love.
All right. The mic is yours.
All right. Arch strings pulled so far they became entangled, like arms and legs wrapped in a passionate embrace. We became tangled. Energy swirled together like ganja soak. Cause we were the smoke. We never had to take a toke. All it took was a kiss, a smile, a look from across the room, the ocean. We felt one another's presence, finished sentences. Before we connected, you could feel electricity in the distance begging for our electrocution, baptized in concupiscence. Born in the waters, Lazarus, we became new beings, believed in new beginnings, fresh minds, creative in the art of communication, lovemaking with words, expertly touching without touching. Tantric silhouettes tap dancing like marionettes connected to those very untangled heartstrings. It was like in those moments we knew everything, lifetimes of one another. We would speak astrology like we were fated to this entire unfulfilled life was calling us to me, to you. We felt like the same things, laughed even harder at corny things, thanked God, the universe, the ancestors for these new feelings that filled us with what felt like the wisdom of love. So we used that knowledge to make love, furiously, down to the syllables. We articulated our speech. Speech patterns were drawn on skin in our very own tongue, with our very own tongues. It was a language only we could understand, a language archaeologists would study, only to be baffled by our sarcophagus. Our love would have battled through the ages. It was ageless. We, destined to be who God himself favors. Why did we do all those things to only, once again, become strangers? Renaissance.
Damn. Okay. You know what? This goes beyond the physical sex and body worship. This is spiritual. This is elevation. But this will bring us back down to only being strangers, really? You want to do it like that? Whew. That was a gut punch. That was deep. Whew. Okay. Oh, man. All right. You hang to us. That's all right. Ms. Lips, what you got for that? Jeez.
Renaissance, listen. I love your poetry. I know I came into your show quite a few times just to flirt and get you off of your main thing, but your poetry just goes to the heart of me. You do such amazing work. And that piece, you know, to come all the way full circle to why did we lose each other after all that, you know, that is absolute mastery.
Mm-hmm.
I love your work.
Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Lady A,
Oh, this was so beautiful. I loved your phrasing in this. And could you, if you don't mind, read the part where you talked about touching towards the end of the poem?
Yeah. Is it toward the end?
You spoke about...
You were talking about the part drawing
well, you were
on
talking
skin.
With lovemaking with words, and then you spoke of touching, but there was more following that, but I didn't get to write it down in time. Because you said so many beautiful things.
Well,
that
was
the
middle. Let's see here. First minds, creative in the art of communication, lovemaking with words. Expertly touching without touching. Tantric silhouettes stop dancing like marionettes connected to those very entangled heartstrings.
Oh, just gorgeous. The whole
Ooh.
Piece. Beautiful.
Goodness. Yeah.
Thank you.
We are all, I believe, sapiosexual. And that right there, that just woke up everything in me. That was absolutely exquisite. And it's a
yeah.
treat because we don't hear from you often because we know you know, life be life. I understand that, but you are so appreciated when you come here. Every time I hear, I'm a fan. I'm just going to leave it at that. That piece right there just blew me away. It really did. And I truly, truly, oh, man, I love it. The playback on this show is going to crazy, really crazy. Oh, wow. Amazing piece.
Yeah, I've
read
this piece in years, so I felt that maybe I should come back to it. There's definitely a lot of poems that are supposed to go in these books I haven't published yet that I'm going back through and just, you know, falling back in love with again. And this is one of those melancholy type pieces, and so I'm speaking so directly
mm-hmm.
to how beautiful love can be. And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, it can be, you know, snatched away for whatever reason. It's just kind of, you know, uncanny when you look at
mm-hmm.
how people connect initially and how it feels like, you know, you're breathing the same breath, and it feels like, you know, if this person were to part from you, you couldn't live. And then somehow
mm-hmm.
it falls apart to the point where not only are you not dead, but you don't speak to this person anymore. Y'all don't have any connection anymore. And you had all of that history. You had that kind of unbelievable connection. You finished sentences. You just felt like the same person down there. And then somehow y'all have no connection. And damn near forget about one another in this life.
Pulling at my heartstring. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hair right there. That was amazing. And I agree with you. I do. I have so much to say about that, but we are out of time. And I am so, I'm so grateful that you came in here tonight. And that piece, Lord, I'm too sensitive for this shit. I thank you so much. Before I let you skate off, though, can you please tell everybody what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio's universe?
All right, well, I have Renaissance Poetry. That's every other Friday. So I had the show last Friday, so I won't be back this Friday. But the Friday after this one, if everything goes well, I will be back, and I'll be posting about it and sending out invites and all of that. So everyone's welcome to come. It's always an open mic. All I, you know, expect for you to bring is good energy and your best poem that you feel like giving us. And we're going to have a good time.
Now, you know that ain't how you say that, right? You say bring your best shit, right?
Yeah, but I thought you were supposed to cuss on your show.
I thought
you said on this show we don't curse.
Yeah, we can't talk about
okay, my bad. I got the wrong memo. I told you guys, okay, I'm trying to respect the show, you know.
I don't know who told you that, but they need a pink slip for real. That was a plan. It's all good. It's all good. Thank you once again for coming up in here and blessing the mic and blessing us with that amazing piece. Don't be a stranger here. It's always an open mic waiting here for you.
Really?
Right.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Okay. One love, one. Wow. Divas, divas, divas. This was a hell of a show.
This show has been amazing. This has been like beyond anything I could have expected.
So good, isn't it? Just so good.
Absolutely, absolutely. My other diva, Jani, she had to run off. Life be life, and y'all know what it is. But I want to thank her for coming through, as always, and you two ladies, as always. I want to thank everybody for coming through and supporting and giving this amazing poetry with your incredible individual personalities, the commentary, all of it, the insight, and the awesome questions that you posed to us. Ladies, you have any closing words?
Just thank you so much to be able to have this experience every week, and I just totally enjoy it and thankful. Always thankful.
Okay.
This show has been, there have been voices that we haven't heard in a while. There have been new voices to come through. The poetry has been off the damn chain all night long. This show is, I'm putting this one in my archive. This is one that goes down for the ages.
Absolutely. All right. And y'all know how I do. I want you to continue to get that good relationship going with yourself. Continue to love and respect one another. And be safe out there, because we got new germs that's coming about. It probably ain't new, but they still getting at us. All right? And with that, everybody, I'm going to just say peace. Love y'all.
Good night. Love y'all.